We're by the two dots on Chaf Aleph Mud Aleph.
There's two dots on Chaf Aleph.
The top two dots.
Top and the bottom.
Let's do the top. Amar Rabbi Yehuda.
Okay.
So, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Menayim L'Birchas HaMazon L'Acharei HaMin HaTorah. One of the more easy questions to ever find in the Gemara. How do we know that there's a Torah obligation to bench? Well, that's pretty straightforward. We all knew that, but we needed that. We're going to need that for the Gemara in a moment. And then on the flip side, which is less different, less simple, Menayin Lebirchas Torah Lefanehu Min Torah. How do we know that the bracha that you say before you start learning is a Torah obligation? So what's the pasuk? Shneimar, the pasuk says, Kishem Hashem Ekra Kovu Godel Elokim. So I call out to Hashem, then you should give forth His great name. So, what is this referring to? So let's go to Rashi. Rashi tells us, Kishem Hashem Ekra, what is this pasuk talking about? What is this really going on? So Rashi gives us a little bit of a backdrop of what's really happening behind the scenes. Kishabam Moshe, that when Moshe Rabbeinu came, Toach B'Dibre Shira, and he wanted to open up with Shira, specifically Hazinu, which is the very end of the Torah, Omer Lehem Yisrael, so he said the following statement to the Jewish people, Ani Avarachecha Tchil, I am going to bless Hashem first, V'atem, and you, Onu Acharei Amei, after I say my bracha, you should answer Amen to my bracha.
So this is where we know you have to say Amen. We learned it this week in Rabbi Lachlan's Shir. Remember? It's just the same thing.
I don't remember. I wasn't
you
there.
Weren't there. But
go ahead. What did it say?
He says, we added a marker for saying Amen.
What's the answer?
Talk about it. This is the process.
It's possible.
And then because we are also the Yom HaNais for Sa'at Tiftah, we are the Kulasacha, is a preamble for, is it a half-sake between Baal Yisrael, which said, is all you're not supposed to do.
Right.
The whole Indian is all one Indian, I think.
Yeah. Well, the pasuk of Hashem Sfosei Tiftach, the Gemara we saw, says that's Ketfila Richta. It's kind of like the beginning of Davening.
Preamble.
Right. So it's not a hefsek. Yeah. But Kishem Hashem Ekra, Rashi is telling us, means like this. This is how you read the pasuk. Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I, Moshe Rabbeinu, call out to you, God, Bivrach, which Kishem Hashem Ekra means Moshe saying a bracha. Atem, you, afterwards, Havu Godel Elokeinu, Ba'amei. Hachim Mefarshil Mesechus Yoma. So the more in Yoma discusses.
Also, we say it for Musaf, and we also say it before Mincha, Amarav.
You say it, Hashem Svotai Tifta?
No, Kishem Hashem Ekra.
Oh, Kishem Hashem Ekra. Oh, that's what you're talking about. Plus before,
but this is the same principle.
So we say it by mincha. By shachar, it's apparently a hefsek. So
right.
We don't say
mincha is not Gal Yisrael anyhow.
Musaf
doesn't have Gal Yisrael. Only Marav is Gal Yisrael.
Right.
And that's what we don't say. Hashem's supposed to better say. So we use the same pasuk over there.
Right. So that what is that pasuk over there? What's the purpose of that pasuk? Kishem Hashem Ekra. Before the Shema? Before the Shema, sorry, why do we say it by twice a day? Good evening. What is the thing? I understand it's a hefsek.
I'm trying to remember. We learned this, but I don't, sometimes I fall asleep.
Sorry. Please don't ever let it happen again. I'm just kidding.
I'm not saying anything, but there's a problem from that.
So
before you get an aliyah?
No, in the morning. You say in the morning. We upsize an aliyah, but when you get up in the morning, before you start learning, you have to say Brachas HaTorah.
Right. So what's the pshat?
So it's military missiles. A Chavzot HaRachas Militariyah.
Right.
It's military missiles.
Good question. What does it mean?
Well, learning Torah is, right?
We're talking about the Bracha.
Right.
Well, the learning Torah and the bracha go hand in hand. When you make a motzi, you make a motzi, but that's the thing. Or lulav, the mitzvah is lulav, but you're making a bracha and lulav. So
the bracha is not the rest.
Correct.
Is not the bracha.
Correct.
Same thing over here. I don't understand what you're trying to say.
Right. Well, I mean, what Rashi is certainly saying is that before Moshe Rabbeinu taught Torah, it was necessary to say a bracha. And this pasuk, maybe it's smachta or something from the... you're right, it's a good question. Like, is it really true? It's a Torah obligation to say Berachas HaTorah, to say the bracha. You know, that's... the Gemara apparently is saying...
It is.
It is. Does that mean that's
and
what we call it?
And it's from Hazina, right? This pasuk is from Hazina.
So if you forgot, you weren't sure, you have to
derive from.
Isn't it a mitzvah to say the Davin?
We learned before that it's a mitzvah. According to most opinions, it's only the Rabbanim, only rabbinic to daven. According to one opinion, the Rambam, it's deraisa. But over here, we're discussing learning Torah, to say the bracha before learning Torah. So apparently, the Gemara is of the opinion that it's a
before learning Torah.
This is what this pasuk is saying. Okay, so let's continue with this with the Gemara now. After the pasuk, the Gemara says the pasuk Yishem Hashem Ekra Havgadol Kenu Amram Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan says, "Well, Manu, we can learn out from here. Birchas haTorah leAcharecha min Birchas haMazon mikal v'chomer." There's an extra Gemara there. Good evening. That what taking for granted, as we established through Pesukim, that there's an obligation to say a bracha after eating. There's an obligation to say a bracha before learning Torah, so we can derive a kal v'chomer based on those two things to obligate us also to have to say a bracha before we eat, and also to say a bracha after we learn. How do we do that? So the Gemara says like this. Again, well, not only can we learn Berachas haTorah leAchareha, that there's an obligation to say a bracha after you finish learning. Min Berachas haMazon mekal v'chomer. We can learn it out from benching. We'll learn that out through kal v'chomer in a moment. But before we do that, we can also learn another kal v'chomer. Berachas haMazon lefaneha, that there is a Torah obligation to say a bracha before we eat. Min Berachas haTorah. We can learn this out from Berachas haTorah. Mekal v'chomer. So what are these kal v'chomers? So here we go. Berachas haTorah leAchareha min Berachas haMazon mekal v'chomer. What is this kal v'chomer over here? Ma mazon. When it comes to eating, we know already she'ein ta'on lefanav. There's no Torah obligation to say a bracha before you eat. Ta'on achara. But when it comes to afterwards, there's an obligation to have to say a bracha afterwards. Right? So therefore, what do we see? We see that the obligation of saying a bracha before is not so important, and saying a bracha afterwards is much, much, much more important. So Torah she'teuna lefanaha. So when it comes to learning Torah, that for some reason the Torah obligates you to say a bracha before, and brachos before doing an action isn't so important. Eino din she'teuna leachareha. Then kal v'chomer is all certainly the case. They should have to say a bracha afterwards.
Question: up in the morning we get up right and make the brachos before davening. Right?
Mm-hmm.
People say when you get up almost right away, you should make the brachas. Because whatever learning you do, if you're thinking about learning, you're already involved in learning. We're saying the bracha achrona then. We don't say it after we learn all day. We're making that bracha beforehand, really.
Before we
finish learning. Here, in the morning.
Before we learn.
Before we make, right, we're doing the bracha before and the bracha achrona, which we use after you get an aliyah, right?
Oh. Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So we make the bracha, but we don't make the other bracha. We don't make that bracha.
Right.
Technically, that should be the bracha we should be saying. Where do we ever say that?
But I have another argument against the bracha Harana from the Torah. Because the bracha
Harana
for eating, bachata b'savata, you have to be savua,
yep.
And you have to feel full that you're satiated, you've had enough. When there's no such thing as being savua when you go.
So that's a good point. In other words, it's really, apparently it shouldn't be a kal v'chomer. We can't compare eating to learning.
It shouldn't be something you say that I've eaten my fill. There's no such thing as having learned your fill.
Right. And that could very well possibly be why the Gemara rejects these kavachomers. We'll see how the Gemara feels these are not valid kavachomers. You can't compare one to the next. Possibly that could be one of the reasons. But going back to what you were saying again, that what?
We never make a bracha. We get up in the morning and we say the first bracha, which we saw before we get Aliyah, right?
Right.
We don't make the second bracha, not on a Tras MS. We never say that at the end of the day, at night. We should make say that. If you're saying, so nowhere do we ever say that. And this one bracha we say in the morning is supposed to take us, takes us throughout the whole day.
Right. Takes us throughout the whole day, right.
Technically. I mean, the bracha we made this morning is encompassing us now. We didn't make a bracha now to sit down and learn.
Right.
Because we made it this morning. Where, so technically, sometime in Marav, or sometimes before we say Kriya Shema Lamita, there should be the bracha, should not on a Tarasim, as whether, any time in the day, according to what you're saying, you've learned the whole day, whether you're full or not, but hopefully if a person got Gisa, by Yom HaLaila, they should have a certain fullness to their learning during the day. But where and anywhere in the scriptures, or anywhere in the davening, is there a bracha krona that was saying?
We don't.
If anything, it's almost the opposite. That's the opposite. You want to think by the opposite. If you're up all night, you need to sleep, you can't make the bracha. Because the only time you make the bracha is not that you're full and you're finished, but you only make the bracha when you've had an interruption.
Right, it's like even a shavuos, like we looked for somebody who slept for a couple hours, so they could make the bracha.
It's kind of the opposite. You're making the bracha because there was an interruption, you're going to restart. It's not that you're filled up on it.
There really is no hesed throughout the day, because our minds are technically supposed to always be occupied in Torah thoughts or ideas of what Torah values.
But still, there's a time you're going to sleep. You make a mapil, you go to sleep, right? So that's the end of your day. So whatever you learn during the day, so where is there any bracha achron or anything? So
that's why kavachomer obviously is not accepted.
Right. Apparently, right. I guess we're. This is. And this is not halach l'maisa, but at least at this thought process, we're thinking maybe it should be instituted. Maybe there should be a bracha at the end of the day. So, based on the Skal Chomer, which seems to be a valid one, at least at this
Shema
point.
At the end of the day.
What?
You say Shema.
Yeah, but Shema is not.
It's not a bracha connected to Torah itself. So let's continue the Gemara. The Gemara continues and says the other Kal Chomer. And what is that other kavachomer? Birchas hamozon lefaneha min birchas haTorah kavachomer. I'll prove to you the obligation to say a bracha before you eat. Now, which would mean midiraisa, you would be obligated to say hamotzi, whatever bracha would be instituted. Let's say hamotzi, the same bracha, but it would be a Torah obligation based on a kavachomer. What's a kavachomer? Let's say the Gemara. Ma Torah she'ein tu'una le'achareha. So it's just in the reverse form of logic. When it comes to learning Torah, there's no obligation to say a bracha afterwards. There's no Torah pasuk which says to do so. We know the pasuk, Hishem Hashem, tells us we have to say a bracha before we learn. So when it comes to eating, which even requires you to have to say a blessing afterwards, so in addition, then certainly one should be obligated to say a bracha before. So that's the kavachomer. So based on these two kavachomers, there's an obligation to learn to say a bracha, berachas haTorah, afterwards. And there's an obligation also to say a bracha on food before. So Gemara says that's not true. You cannot possibly compare to him. This is what you were saying. Ikum mechach. There's what to ask. Malamazon, shokhein nehenna. When it comes to food, you derive hana. That's not to say that learning Torah, there's no hana, but malo Torah shokhein chayin oilu. When it comes to Torah, it's chayin oilu. What is chayin oilu?
Olam haba.
So you don't get olam haba by eating a slice of bread. Right?
So it's saying that you do not get physical hana
from learning Torah, but you get physical hana, right? So you can't. So the Gemara is basically saying there's no way you can learn one from the other, and therefore the fact that it sounds like a kavachomer, but they're two completely separate things, and therefore one cannot learn a kavachomer from that. So before we see the Gemara's second proof, it's brought down in the Sefer Beis Yosef. It says that when it comes to Hana, it's not Shayach. This is what he says in the Sefer. So, the idea of getting hana is only when it comes to food. But when it comes to learning, learning is not, you can't derive hana before.
No, but you do derive hana in this life before. Why?
Yeah.
How do you worship God? You learn Torah, you do all these things. And if you do all this in Masat, the Karazim, and Bifo, you will have Hana in this life. There is a direct correlation. If you keep the mitzvahs, you keep Hashem's Torah, which is part of learning Torah, I'm going to give food, keep your fields full, and you have everything that you need in this life. So there is a direct correlation, there's a direct Hana. I guess it's only Hana of Olam Haba.
On the other hand, we hold Schar Mitzvah B'Hayal Malaika, but really we don't really derive benefit and reward in this world.
But we say it every day, three times a day.
And you will get benefit, you will.
So you are getting Hana, so if you do the mitzvahs, there it is, and your fields are full and you're plowing, everything's going great. So obviously you got the Hana right there, you got paid.
No, you're going to get it later.
No, you're going to get it later, that's all the Malaika, but you're getting it in this life too.
Not right now.
What do you mean? You've got, you plant your field, it grows, you got Hana. That's pretty much right.
You got harvest in another 3-4 months.
It's still a Hana in this life. You were saying you only got Hana in Olam Haba. Here's Hana in this life.
So, alright. I mean, the question is about you're learning Torah for right now. You're immediately getting immediate gratification for it right away?
I bet you some people do. Some people, let me ask you a question. You go out, you got a good shot, you got to learn something. A big chiddush, or you got something. Hey, it gives you a whole, you walk away with a great feeling that
day.
That's why you can't learn
Tisha B'Av.
We do learn Tisha B'Av. What could be better Hana than, it's a spiritual, but it's a Hana, it makes your day, it lifts you up, it makes you have a very good day. You learn something and you have a bit, a good Chiddush or something out of it.
I don't think it's the same thing as Hana.
How is that considered restful?
Yeah. The question is how you translate the word Hana. What does Hana mean?
But if you call Hana a satisfaction,
yeah,
you definitely can get derive satisfaction from learning something.
Right. So let's not translate it that way.
What do you call it?
It sounds like an immediate physical gratification.
But just immediate physical, you got up, you got to learn, hey, I thought of something for the leaders. I'm pumped, I go about my day. I get up in the morning, I learn a new thing.
I don't think the adding word physical. So that definition is appropriate because Hana
So immediate gratification.
From seeing a student successful or something like that doesn't mean it's a physical gratification.
I'm not sure if learning Torah is considered Hana. It's because Hashem Yisharim is Samchi Lei. It makes you feel good. It gives you a sense of satisfaction.
So Simchat Lei is not Hana?
I think there is an element of maybe some Hana in Simchat Lei. I don't think they're exactly the same. Yeah, there's certain, obviously positive feelings are connected here, but the food is not necessarily a positive feeling either. And also, it certainly is a clear, obvious difference between the two. So, he says the other idea, he says, Shechen Chai Ha'olam U'Shayach El Lafano. When it comes to Chai Olam, that concept is only applicable to before. Shebo Lasok B'Chai Olam, Mash Ein Kein L'Acharav Sheposek M'Chai Olam. So it's interesting, he says that this idea of the bracha, of what's the significance of each of these brachos, why do we specifically say it the way that they do? So, going back to the first part, which we just said, is that the Hana is only after you've eaten. There's no Hana when the food is there and you did not yet bite into it yet. On the other hand, when it says Chai Olam is only before you start learning. Because before you start learning, you say a bracha, and then you're about to learn something which will bring you to Chai Olam Haba. But when you finish learning, So I decide, you know what, I'm going to stop learning right now, I'm a little tired, 7:45. To say a bracha, that's not chayei olam, because that's sheposek mechayei olam. Stop yourself from learning.
Why is it that someone gets an aliyah, and the bracha after the aliyah makes it mechayei olam?
Any question?
Why do we make that second? The first question is, why do you make the first bracha? You got it in the morning, you made the bracha, shabbat, shabbat.
I mean,
why do you have to repeat it?
The reality is the way that we do it now is not the way it used to be. It used to be that one person would say the first bracha, they'd read different aliyot,
right,
and then the last guy would only read the last. Now we have everyone do everything, which is a question of how we're allowed to do that. But nonetheless, that's a good question. The nusach of that bracha
is
a little challenging.
You said a bracha in the morning, but this is barabba. It's different. It's Kiddush Hashem barabba, in a sense. You know, it's this is barabba, so you can understand that. But if you're going to say that chayei olam should be before, then why is chayei olam in the bracha
right
after?
Because on the other hand, you would maybe think the opposite, that only once you've experienced Torah can you recognize and sense that it brings, it is chayei olam.
Yeah, but it's the same thing with food. I mean, but where's that not? Until you ate that food, if you didn't eat
right
too much,
right,
you didn't have satisfaction either. Hey, that was a great meal, but I wasn't saying it was a great meal from the first bite.
Right.
When you finished that 16-ounce steak, then maybe you felt that it was the same thing with Torah.
Right. It's, according to this pshat, the Indian of Hana is only at the end. It's only after you've finished eating. Before you ate, there's no hana. It's just sitting there. You may never end up eating it.
Well, you could say some people, they say the sizzle of the steak is worth more than eating it. Sometimes when you go out by a barbecue,
is that hana, though?
Good. But you don't eat it, but you could
drink,
but you have a good feel. You know, that smells good. You know,
right.
It's
not hana.
It's
going to
give you less hana. It's going to make you more hungry.
To an extent, the appreciation of something, I think most people, I don't know, maybe I'm different than most people, but most people on Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur or whatever, when you hear the shofar blow on Yom Kippur, all of a sudden you're a little less hungry than you were before.
It's anticlimactic.
Yeah, no, but I mean, once you know it's there, it's like, you'll excuse us that somebody has the urge to use the restroom in the car, and nothing that they see. As soon as they pull into a rest area, they feel a little bit more relieved, and their urge is a little less strong.
Okay, so what is the connection
to this? I'm saying that you do get a certain hana, even that you know that you're actually starting something, or that it's there. You sat down to learn, there's a certain element of hana there already, because you know that you're actually realizing it. You've reached the point of realization, rather than saying, I wish I could do this.
So, I mean, however we interpret this, the Gemara certainly feels it's not a valid Kal V'Chomer because they are certainly worlds apart. Then the Gemara continues and says one other proof. It says, "Va'od." Furthermore, Tznan, we learned in our Mishnah, which is on the previous Amud, Al Mazon Mevarach Achar Ben Mevarach Lefanav Tiyuf. So our previous Mishnah, which talked about the Balkari.
So, think about it.
What is he only allowed to think of? Only things which are Torah-based,
right,
the deraisa. Anything which is not Torah-based, anything which is not deraisa, is not allowed to even have a hearer, not allowed to think. So the question is, if in fact it's a valid Kal V'Chomer, then why does our Mishnah say that he cannot be Mahar here, he can't even think the bracha before, exactly. So the fact that it says Vedim Avar Chafanam is proof that it's not a valid Kal V'Chomer. In fact, this is a valid refutation. So I once heard from Rabbi Pesach Lerner, says the pshat on this Gemara, most people say it with regard to the food, but the chiddush, there's no chiddush in making a bracha before you eat, because you know you're starving, you're lacking, you're hungry. So when it comes to the physical world, the chiddush is that after you've eaten, after you've eaten and you're comfortable and you're full, that's the time when Hashem says, I want you to bench. So in the physical world, the chiddush is to say the bracha is to say the bracha afterwards.
So why do we make it before?
So
why do
we don't.
No,
well, that's the bracha d'orban. It's a rabbinical bracha. But the Torah obligation is only at the end, because when it comes to physical things, the tendency is that you'll gravitate towards spirituality only in the time when you are lacking. When everything is great, I don't need it. Therefore, Hashem says, no, that's exactly when you have to say a bracha, at the end. It's the exact opposite when it comes to the spiritual world. So what is that? When it comes to the after you've learned Torah, you don't need to say a bracha because you acknowledge the great lack of your of not having Torah and the greatness that you were able to have learned Torah. The chiddush is to say the bracha before, in a time when you're spiritually lacking, right? When you have all the Torah and everything, you want to say a bracha, berachas haTorah, because you understand and appreciate. And the chiddush is in the spiritual world is to say the bracha before, a time when you don't have the Torah yet, you don't have the spirituality, you don't have that connection to Ruchnius. That's the time when you say the bracha before. So that's how Rabbi Lerner contrasted the physical and the spiritual, why the Torah obligation for food or the physical world is at the end, and when it comes to the spiritual world, it's at the beginning. So just something to think about. Okay, let's move on. Omer Rav Yehuda, it's a difficult piece of Gemara. The first few lines, we'll go through some of it. There's a lengthy Tosfos, which we won't be able to see the whole thing. Omer Rav Yehuda, Safik Kar Kriya Shema, Safik Lo Kar. So you have a person that... nothing more, thanks. I don't know if I said the Shema, I just don't remember. So what's the halacha? Do I have to say the Shema again? Well, without seeing any of these words, we're familiar with the halacha, Safik Deraisa Chumra, Safik Derban Lakula. So therefore, based on that principle of Safik Deraisa Chumra, Safik Derban Lakula, without looking at the Gemara, when the Gemara said the word that you're not sure if he said the Shema, Safik Kar Shema, Kriya Shema, Safik Lo Kara,
you have to say it.
You would think you should say it. Let's read the next two words of the Gemara. Next three words. Eino Chlozer Kara, you don't have to. Okay. Now let's just read the next few more words. That's obviously a problem. The next part of the Gemara says, Safik Omer Emes V'Yatzi, Safik Lo Amar. So let's say again. Emes V'Yatzi is a bracha, Birchas Kriya Shema. It's part of Birchas Kriya Shema. Last I checked, that's after the fact, and it's also not derisive.
It's the Rabbanan.
So probably Safik Derabban Lakula, I'm not
you
sure.
Have to say it,
so you don't have to say it.
We know for sure you do have to say it, because otherwise it won't
be yeah. So.
When you bow to Bon, doesn't that refer to Kriya Shema?
It's a very good question. That's going to be the Gemara's next question. That's your Machadish Gemara's next question.
You're any time as intelligent as I am.
Savik Omer, Emes V'Yatziv, Savik Omer, Chozer Omer, Emes V'Yatziv, which, my time. So listen to this sentence. Krishma, Durabana, Emes V'Yatziv, Duraisa.
You're talking about the morning Krishma, is
that's what it says. I'm just reading the words of this Gemara. It says, Kriya Shema
D'Rabbanan. Rashi says you can be Yotzer just with Vah after in bed.
Oh. So let's talk about, let's keep it
but
simple.
In the morning,
let's,
it's definitely D'Raisa, isn't it?
I always thought it was D'Raisa even at night. The question was, are you Yotzer Kriya Shema Mita, saying one paragraph, but some Chiyuv of saying the Shema there is. But the Gemara here clearly says, Kriya Shema D'Rabbanan. Hi, back to Gemara. The Gemara asks your question. Master Rabbi Yosef, what does the pasuk say? Shach b'chol kumecha. What are you talking about? That Kriya Shema is the Rabbanan. Who on earth says Kriya Shema is the Rabbanan? The pasuk says, shach b'chol kumecha, that you're supposed to say the Shema when you lie down and get up. And by the way, that's a pasuk. That's in the Torah. So how can you tell me shach b'chol kumecha?
This
Shema is the Rabbanan. Right. So more answers are, I'm going to lay it by. When it says "v'shach b'chol kumecha," it's not referring to
the Shema
itself. Right, it's actually saying the Shema. It's rather referring to learning. There's an obligation to learn Torah. right? So it's referring to Divrei Torah. And of course, the Shema is Divrei Torah, so you're supposed to learn in the morning and night. But there's no obligation to say the Shema Midaraisa, apparently. So we're asking, what do you mean? Let's go back to the Mishnah that we just quoted a few moments ago. Tanan, Bal Keri Mahar Belibo. So, again, the principle of that Mishnah over there by the Bal Keri is that the only time we allow him even to have a thought is if it's something which is derisive. So let's read what the Mishnah over there says. Bal Keri Mahar Belibo, Ve'eno Mivarech Lo Lefaneha, and here the next two important words, Lo Lachareha. Let's just read the next part, even though it should, this line really seems to be extra. Now, what did the Mishnah say? Now, when it came to the Shema, he's supposed, the Baal Keri is supposed to be Mahar Belibo. Apparently, the Shema, pre-Shema is derisive. And when it comes to saying a bracha, thinking even a bracha, lachareha, namely, emes v'yatziv, is he supposed to be in me Mahar Her? No, which is apparently the Rabbana. So how could you say that the Shema is the Rabbana? How can you say that emes v'yatziv is derisa? When we see the Mishnah says, Mitzatach, Bisach, Daita, if you want to tell me, Emes Miyatsim Deraisa, so Levarach Achorel. So if it's true that Emes Miyatsim is Deraisa, then the Mishnah over there should say, you should say a Brach, you should be Mahar Her afterwards as well. So the Gemara answers like this, my time of Mavarech, so why should you say, why are you Mavarech? You should be seeing Mitzrayim. The question is, which we'll have to go quickly through this, we'll have to go through a little bit better next time. If the reason why we say that Emes V'yatziv, you should say it in case you're in doubt, is because of Yetzias Mitzrayim, in which, if you look at this, the fourth line from the bottom of Tosfos, basically the second to last Tosfos, right before it says, Ahubini B'Toritziv, if you look the like six words before that, Hilkach, Parsha Sitzes B'chlal Emes V'yatziv. So that's a little hint over there. Emes V'yatziv itself is not derisive. But when we say the words Emes V'yatziv, this lengthy Tosos, which we'll see next week, connects it to the third paragraph, which has Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right. The third paragraph, which has Yetzias Mitzrayim, which of course is derisive. So the word says, Yim Yishim Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Akilib Kriya Shema was already mentioned by the Shema. So therefore, we'll have to understand this a little bit better next time. We'll stop here. What's the good word? 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 What's